Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And you know us, we are your people dashboard for small and medium companies. That's right. We know you companies between 50 and let's call it 1,000 employees have very small HR teams. You're lean, you're busy, a lot of you are overworked, you're going through a crisis, yet you still need to be able to pull reports and understand the data. And you have a lot of questions about what is your turnover, what is your headcount, engagement scores, performance, diversity, all these things, yet you're still pulling these manual spreadsheets from all your different HR systems. Well, look no further because you can now go to employeecycle.com and you will see a great, beautiful, user-friendly people dashboard that has pre-built integration connectors to all the systems you use, like Bamboo HR, Namely, Zenefit, Sapling, 15.5, Office 5, Glassdoor, you name it. We can pull all that data into one place so that you can view, track, share, and analyze all your people data for one place. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because today we have a great guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Jessica Fisterer. She's the director of people at Lively. And today we're going to discuss how to help remove uncertainty within your workforce during a crisis. Jessica, welcome to the podcast. Woo! Jessica, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me, Bruce.
Thank you so much for being willing to share all your wisdom and knowledge today. I really appreciate it. So, Jessica, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, which is asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Sure thing. So it's an interesting story, I think. I actually have a background in the law. So I went to law school and thought I was going to be doing employment law, plaintiff side litigation. The universe had other plans for me. And when I graduated law school, I did a little bit of legal work, and it was a bit not what I was expecting it to be, a bit slow and not quite having the impact that I was hoping to have. So I went ahead and applied on a whim to some tech jobs. You know, I grew up in the Bay Area and I wanted to stay here after I graduated. And I got a job with a company called MuleSoft. I was the first person with a law degree, first person with any HR experience that worked there. And it just kind of took off from there. I built out their PeopleOps HR function. And then I went on to do that at two other companies, including Lively, which is where I'm at now. And the way that I kind of think about it is I'm doing the flip side of the work that I thought I would be doing, right? So instead of representing employees and helping them sue companies for bad behavior, I'm helping companies have good behavior, be inclusive, great places to work so that employees don't need to hire lawyers to sue them. So that's kind of how I got here. And it's been fantastic.
Awesome. And can you just tell us a little bit about Lively in regards to headcount, where are most of your employees based, and what does your company do?
Absolutely. So we are headquartered in San Francisco, though right now, obviously, everyone's remote. And we have about 70, a little under 80 people. About 20, 25 of those are always remote, and the rest would usually be at headquarters. We are an HSA provider. So we, you know, we help folks manage their HSAs. We pride ourselves on being like very user-friendly. We have a great member support team. I think a lot of folks are used to dealing with big banks or dealing with terrible customer service when it comes to their health savings account. And so Lively provides an alternative to that. Not to be confused with many other companies called Lively, but we are Lively, the HSA provider.
Got it. So today we're talking about how to help remove uncertainty within your workforce during a crisis. And we added on that during a crisis because this is what we're going through right now. But I'm assuming at any given point of an employee's life cycle and their journey and employee experience that you pretty much want to remove all uncertainty as much as possible, correct?
I mean, ideally, yeah. I'd love to be able to remove uncertainty for everyone all the time.
Got it. So I would like to start off with talking about what are some of the things that your company identified as the biggest areas where employees had uncertainty? And then how did you go about creating a plan for trying to remove that for them?
Yeah, so this came up, I think, especially in March or late February, early March, when news about COVID started happening, right? And so started hearing reports of there's this virus and we don't know how we should handle it. And some places are closing and some aren't. And we should buy extra hand sanitizer and we should wipe down the doorknobs. And there was just a lot of folks asking, like, can I work from home? And so we started by being very flexible and saying, yeah, if you want to work from home, you can, we'll allow it. But as time went on, it became apparent that allowing flexibility is great. But when there's what was becoming a more and more of a crisis, folks don't necessarily want flexibility. They want to be told what to do. They want to feel reassured. And I think that's human nature. I think that's whether you're at work or outside of work, that's what folks want. And so we made the decision to actually close the office to make it clear everyone's working from home. At the time, we didn't know for how long. We initially just said, you know, till the end of the month and then we'll see, because no one knew what this was going to be like. And so that's been kind of the theme throughout, is that we're in the midst of a year that has so much happening. I don't want to use the word unprecedented because I think it's been overused. It's been overused for a reason. And what we want to do is, as an employer, provide our employees with any kind of structure and stability that we can, given that external forces are so shifting and changing all the time.
As you were going through this process, were there trends in different categories of areas where you found employees really struggling and dealing with areas of uncertainty? Or were you able to just see that and know that based off of what's going on in the world and execute it from there?
I mean, I could see it in that employees were asking what to do, right? Like, can I work from home? If I do, is that going to put me at a disadvantage with my manager? Managers were asking, how do I handle these requests fairly? And then even once we moved to work from home, there was a question of what are the expectations? Do I need to have my video on the Zoom call? What are the work hours need to look like? I have a kid, what do I do? And so there were a lot of questions coming in that made it very apparent that folks weren't really sure how to handle it and wanted some guidance.
I'm glad you brought up all those potential challenges, because it just seems super easy to tell everybody, go home, open up your laptop and do work. But clearly that's not the case. And one of the things that I think is interesting that maybe a lot of people may not think about is that question that you said some employees asked about, would they be at a disadvantage with their manager? If I said that correctly, what does that mean exactly?
Well, folks were worried about whether if I'm working from home and the rest of the team isn't, even though I'm allowed to, is that going to come up later? Am I going to get less opportunities? Am I going to get less attention? Once we sent everyone home, that was less of a problem. But then other issues came up around that of, hey, I actually have trouble working 9 to 5 when I'm at home because I have 3 roommates who also work from home, or I have 2 kids and we don't have childcare right now. So really navigating how everyone's needs still are very unique, even if we are all at home working.
So that's interesting. When I think about the HR and the people ops role, on one hand, you want to make sure that you're providing a very fair and balanced employee experience. But on the other hand, it sometimes needs to get very personalized and customized. So how do you balance the two so that you're not going over the top and really meeting every single requirement and expectation for a certain person because they may have kids or another situation like that, whereas someone else who doesn't have kids or doesn't need to have those specific requirements feel like they're not getting as much value from being an employee? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. The way that I think about it is, we have general policies that we put in place, right? We wrote up kind of a work from home expectations document when we sent everyone home. Here's how you should be interacting. Here's what we expect on Zoom calls. Here's set your Slack status so we know if you're off going to get groceries, whatever it is. So we put in place a bunch of general rules and policies, and then it's working with managers to make sure that when there are folks who those policies aren't working for, we can figure out if we can work with them, right? And so it might be that an individual just wants to vent and they don't actually need anything adjusted, or it might be that they actually need to work, you know, 8 to 12, take 3 hours off and then work in the evening. Will that work for the team they're on? Having that conversation with their manager and supporting their manager and making those kind of decisions has been really fruitful so far. We have, you know, made adjustments where needed. We're also a relatively small team, so it is definitely manageable for me to support all the managers in doing that. But if they need to, they can lean back on the policies that we've put out and published.
As I listen to you talk about trying to remove uncertainty by allowing people to work certain schedules and work from home, but then people have more questions about that, it almost feels like as you're trying to remove uncertainty, you create more uncertainty in other areas. Do you feel that it just keeps trickling down the lane of every time you try to create certainty, it always will create more uncertainty? Or do you feel now that you're at a place where everyone is pretty settled and calm in this new routine?
Well, I would say folks were relatively settled and calm a couple of weeks ago, and then school started, right? So we got to a point where it felt like everyone had figured out what they needed. Folks were really buzzing along. We were wrapping up Q2. Things were going great. The, you know, concerns about whether people could perform remotely had kind of, we'd fleshed out that they could. And then all of the schools starting up again, talks started. So everyone with kids is now reimagining what that looks like, right? Whether they're having to school at home, whether there's some kind of partial going back to school and what that means. So I think from Lively's perspective, you know, the policies we put in place and the what we've done has given as much structure as we can. And there's always going to be more because things are going to shift outside of the workplace. But I think we've provided the structure now that folks know what they need to do and that they will be supported and that they can have conversations about what they need as their circumstances change.
How do you draw the line between how accountable Lively needs to be for helping people during whatever challenge and whatever custom experience they're going through versus allowing the individuals to try to figure it out for themselves?
Oh, interesting. I tend to think of it as the individuals are figuring everything out for themselves for the most part, right? Like we're all figuring out how to manage our lives in the midst of this crisis, these many crises that are happening this year. It's only when you get to a sticking point of, or when an employee gets to a sticking point of, okay, I figured this thing out, but it might be at odds with what the company needs or what my manager needs, then that comes up in conversation. So I don't see it as Lively needs to figure things out for folks. I do see it as allowing the space for people to bring their challenges and to bring their ideas around what will work for them and trying to work with them to make sure that they can balance their lives in the way that they need to, given everything going on. And we've gotten really good feedback on the way we've approached it. Like employees are very grateful. And I feel like it's doing a lot for our employee morale. And we'll see when we do our next engagement survey if I'm right about that. But anecdotally, I think it's working.
So I know a lot of the time when you're trying to provide more certainty in any situation, the outcome or the goal rather is to really allow people to make longer term plans so that they know what they could do in the long term versus things constantly changing in the short term. Are there things that you've done for your employees and with your workforce in general to help your employees better plan for the long term?
Yeah. So we, as I mentioned, you know, we closed our office, we sent everyone home. We kind of started out with a, well, we're going to see how this goes through the end of the month. And then we updated, okay, we're definitely going to see how this goes for the next couple months. Okay, it doesn't look like we're going to be back in the office before October. And then finally, we realized, and when I say we, it's myself, and we have kind of an internal G&A team that's formed to to respond to what's going on, to COVID and other things. And we decided that we needed to give folks a little, we felt we needed to give folks more time to do something if they needed to get out of a lease or move, or they live with four roommates and they'd rather go work from a family member's house. And updating every few months that we weren't going to be back in the office for a few months didn't provide that kind of flexibility. So we decided to update that it'll be at least 12 months. So through August of next year, that we won't require folks to come back. We may open the office before then. I mean, we'll see if that's even possible, but that we wouldn't require folks to come back so that they can plan their lives and make arrangements and not feel like they're just waiting with bated breath on what the next 3 month update is from us.
For any company out there, and more specifically, any HR people leader that's listening to this interview and is currently on the fence about making such a long-term decision, saying you don't have to come back to the office either for the remainder of this year or even more interesting, even almost until 2022, what should they be thinking about as they're making that decision? Because a lot of people are stuck on the fence and it's just something that's keeping them from making that hard stance and that long-term decision. But eventually they're going to have to if they want to remove uncertainty from the workforce. So what would be some of the actions and steps that they should take to figure out if this works for them?
Yeah, I think first of all is looking at performance and productivity since folks have gone home. You know, that's something that we did first is we looked at performance reviews. We talked to the exec team. And we got a sense that actually folks were performing really well, and in some cases better. That's a whole nother tangent I won't go on about people burning out because they don't have boundaries when they're working from home. But folks are really productive and performing well. So that's one thing. How are your folks performing? If they're performing well at home, we don't know the likelihood of when things are going to open up. And depending on where you are, that might seem like it's going to be sooner or later. But giving folks an amount of time that they can plan their lives, it's a generous thing to do, but it's also, I think, something that will pay back in employee happiness, in retention, in loyalty to the company. I don't really see a downside in doing it. Now, of course, if you're a business where being in the office makes a big difference, that's something else. But in tech and a lot of companies, it's not. We do everything on Zoom already. And even when we go back to the office, it's going to look different, right? It's not going to be back to quote unquote normal. So I think considering all of those and then the unique employee population that each company has is really useful. But if your folks are performing and doing well and there's no real reason to require them to be back in the office for up to a year, like why not give them that kind of flexibility and that kind of certainty that they can do what they need to do, whether, you know, we have a lot of people that are moving right now, buying houses, switching leases. The real estate market here is just totally changing. And folks are really appreciative that they have the leeway to do that.
And to end this interview, because this is your very first podcast ever, I would like people to get to know you a little bit more. So we know that HR is a really stressful job, especially now, is you're trying to not only help yourself make it through personally and professionally through COVID and all the 2020 challenges we're all facing, but also responsible for this workforce. So what are you currently doing to have self-care and practice self-care so that you're in a good enough place and mindset to help all your employees?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm lucky in that I kind of started some pretty hefty self-care practices a few years back. So they were already in place when this all started. I meditate. I do a lot of yoga. I'm a dancer. And my hobby outside of work is I'm in a dance company. So while we're not performing right now, we are doing rehearsals on Zoom, which helps keep me sane. Yeah, so lots of physical activity and meditating. I've become quite a plant mom since shelter in place started. I have a lot of house plants now. So those are all things that I'm doing to keep myself calm and together so that I can support our workforce.
We had zero plants before COVID and now we have four.
So. Yeah, I have a lot. I don't even know how many. Too many, probably.
Got it. Well, thanks for going through all the information you went through talking about such an interesting topic and sharing a little bit about yourself to make this even more personal. Really appreciate it. So thanks so much for being an awesome podcast guest. Jessica! Woo! Thank you!
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Sure. So where can people find you and Lively online?
Yeah, so our website is livelyme.com. That's Lively and then M-E. And, you know, I'm on LinkedIn. That's probably the best place to find me. And yeah, you can find Lively on all the different social media as well, but livelyme.com is the place to look.
Awesome. And we'll definitely provide all that information in the show notes when this episode is posted. So if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a 5-star rating because that shows that you care and that we're providing great content. Also, if this is the very first Employee Cycle podcast interview you've ever heard, and you came here because you're either already a mega super fan of Jessica and you wanted to hear what she had to say, or you thought that this topic was pretty compelling and you just wanted to check it out, but now you're hungry for more because this was so awesome, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major podcast players. And last but not least, all of you awesome HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.